Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, beginning with the fourth verse. This is part of our Gospel lesson for today, this festival of our Lord's resurrection. Dear friends, in our resurrected Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, imagine that you have a meeting with the president at the White House. You decide to drive yourself, and you're not quite sure where the White House is located. You know it's in Washington, D.C. somewhere. You figured you would just get there, you'd drive around for a while, look for a building, a white building with white columns on it, and you'd be able to find it. So you start driving around, and you're driving around longer and longer, and you can't find it. So you drive around some more, and you see some people walking around, so you roll down your window and say, "Hey, can you tell me how to find the president? I have a meeting with him." The man kind of looks at you, their weird face. He starts looking around, and all you can see is acres and acres of white tombstones. You're in Arlington National Cemetery. Sure, JFK is buried there, and as well as William Taft, but you're not going to be meeting with those two presidents anytime soon. It's foolish. You're looking for the living among the dead. That's what we see today. A group of women looking for Jesus at the place they last saw him. His tomb. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, Salome, and perhaps a few other women who went to the tomb. Now they were there at Calvary. They saw Jesus hung on the cross. They saw him breathe his last and die. They washed as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took down Jesus' body, wrapped it in linen and 65 pounds of spices. They saw him carry his body to the tomb that was nearby. They saw how his body was laid in the tomb and then watched as they rolled this huge heavy stone in front of the entrance to the tomb. The next day was a Sabbath. And they could not do any work on the Sabbath. So the next day, Sunday, they had planned to take some more spices. They realized that Jesus' burial was done in haste, and while it was according to Jewish custom, it wasn't quite a proper burial. So they prepared more spices that they had planned on taking into the tomb to finish giving Jesus a proper burial. As they were carrying their spices along the way, they realized that not one of them would be able to roll away the heavy stone in front of the tomb, and they wondered what they were going to do. But then they saw that the stone was already rolled away. Confused, bewildered, wondering exactly what was going on, the women entered the tomb. They were looking for Jesus' body. It wasn't there. Where could Jesus have gone? What happened to Jesus' body? Dead people don't just get up and leave. Perhaps Joseph or Nicodemus had taken his body and moved it somewhere else. Maybe his enemies were trying to desecrate Jesus' body. But when they entered the tomb, they weren't alone. There were two angels there in the appearance of men with white dazzling clothes. And the angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." Oh, the woman should have remembered. Jesus told his followers time and time again that he was going to rise from the dead after 3 days. For our first service this morning, we talked about what the enemies of Jesus, the Jewish leaders, said on Saturday they remember that Jesus talked about rising from the dead after 3 days. So Jesus' enemies remembered, but his followers, these women who went with him everywhere they went, failed to remember. Now, to be fair, just put yourself in the women's shoes for a little bit. They had been with Jesus for years. They had followed him from Galilee. They believed that he was the Son of God, eternal and almighty. They believed that he was a long-promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then they were there, and they watched him be beaten and flogged and crucified. They saw the Son of God breathe his last and die. They were heartbroken. Grief overwhelmed them, overcome with sorrow. And perhaps you've been there before. We feel overwhelmed. We don't think straight. When we are so focused on the pain and the sorrow that we experience in this life, we become oblivious to things that we should have known. We see that play out time and time again in our lives. Maybe you get diagnosed with cancer. Maybe a loved one dies unexpectedly. Maybe you have issues at work or family problems you have to deal with, and you focus. All your focus seems to be on those issues you have to deal with. Soon you become overwhelmed. You don't think right. You start looking for God in all the wrong places. You think that the answer to your problems isn't found in God's Word, but it's found in your own feelings and emotions, what you want, what you desire. Maybe it's found in what society says is right, or what science, or maybe you should just follow your reason and your logic instead of God and His holy Word. So then when we're overcome with sorrows, we often turn to those things instead of God. Or maybe when you're overcome with sorrows, we have the temptation to think that our happiness lies in the things of this world. That the key to happiness is spending more time with your family. Maybe going out and living a wild life, not worrying about the repercussions. Or maybe working harder, making more money, and buying more things for yourself. That would make your life happier. And when we do so, we're doing the same thing that those women did. We're looking for God in all the wrong places. You know, those angels were sent by God. They didn't speak on their own. They spoke for God. A special message to those women. And what did they tell those women? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? In other words, why are you looking for Jesus in all the wrong places? Remember what Jesus said. He talked about this again and again. You should know better. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. God doesn't send his angels down to earth to give us messages anymore. He doesn't need to. Everything he wants us to know is already revealed in his holy word. If we want to know God, if we want to know the answer to life's problems, we turn to God by turning to his word. In his word, he reminds us of his love and compassion and the forgiveness of sins he has won for us. By being reminded of this love and this compassion, he helps us overcome our sorrows and he removes our fears. Now, the angels, their message made it abundantly clear that Jesus was not in the tomb because he had risen from the dead. He is no longer dead. He is alive. And when the angels reminded the women of Jesus' words, the women began to remember everything that Jesus had said about his death and resurrection. They understood then why everything took place. They understood why Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross. They understood that it was to save us. They understood that by dying on the cross, he was able to take our sins upon himself, suffering the eternal punishment that we deserve. He did so that we can have a perfect life given to us by Christ. so that he could fulfill all the prophecies about his resurrection. Jesus had to die on the third day, just as he said. And all of a sudden, the meaning and the purpose of Jesus' resurrection became obvious to the women. Jesus isn't dead. He is alive. He is risen just as he said. For us as humans, of all time, death has always been an end. There's no coming back from death. But Jesus died, and he rose. Jesus proved that he has power over death. Which proves that Jesus isn't just a man, but Jesus truly is God. Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh, suffered and died, so that 3 days later he can rise from the dead, defeating death and giving us that victory. Jesus' resurrection proves his deity. It's not just the case when someone rises from the dead that, or when someone does something great that it affects us at all. No, Jesus' resurrection means everything for us. Paul mentions this in Romans chapter 4. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. By his death on the cross, he washed away our sins with his own blood. He paid the eternal price for our sins as he suffered our eternal punishment. The sins that we have committed are no longer counted against us. They are removed as far as east is from west, covered by the blood of Christ. The sin that separated us from God is removed and we are reconciled back to God. His resurrection is proof that he really did pay for our sins and that God accepted that payment. And as a result, we are justified. That word justified, justification, it means to be declared not guilty. Christ's resurrection means that God looks at us and doesn't see our sins. He sees a perfect and holy life of Christ credited to us, and he declares us not guilty on account of his Son. Never will our sins come back to us. Never will they haunt us or condemn us. As the women remembered Jesus' word about his death and resurrection and what it meant, they also remembered him talking about his resurrection and what his life means for us. They would have remembered his words to their friend Martha at the death of her brother Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Privately with his disciples on Maundy Thursday, Jesus also said, because I live, you also will live. So what does Jesus' resurrection mean for you? It means that you will live, even though you die. And we must all die because we're all sinners, but it means that death is not an end. Death may be an end of life on this earth, but it is the beginning of an eternal life in heaven. A life with our Savior free from sin and the effects of sin, free from pain and sorrow and weeping and gnashing of teeth. So death then is not something to be feared, because it is beginning of a perfect eternal life. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that we too will rise from the dead, and body and soul together on the last day, we will dwell with our Savior forever. All of this, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life is won for you by Christ. He won that ultimate victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil, and he gives that victory to us. We are victorious because of Christ. It's a gift given to you for free out of the love and grace of our Lord, not something we have to earn or deserve or otherwise please God to obtain. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we look for God and for the answers to life in all the wrong places? If you are overwhelmed with everything in your life, if you're overcome with sorrow, we turn to the Lord in His holy word, where we are reminded of His love and compassion and learn about His resurrection and what it means for us. He lives. And because He lives, we know that we are fully and freely forgiven. He lives, and because He lives, we know that we too will live, even though we die. He lives. And because He lives, we look forward to that perfect and eternal life with Him in heaven forever. Amen.